Praying that you all will have a wonderful time gathering with your families. Praying that you will have a wonderful time of reflection on this past year as we draw to a close of 2023, which seems ridiculous that we are about to go into 2024. It's going to be a big year next year. One of my favorite times of the year will be the Summer Olympics. I love the Summer Olympics. It's a leap year. We have an extra day. We have any February 29 birthdays in the house? No? No? Yeah? Did I see someone raise their hand? No? Okay. I was going to say you're probably 3 years old if you are. birthday only came three times. We're going to conclude this series next week. We're continuing a series that we began the first week of Advent called the Songs of Advent. We've been looking at these texts in the Gospel of Luke, in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, the birth narratives of Jesus, and contained in the birth narratives are several individuals who, in response to God, they sing a song or offer a praise to God. They're called songs, and later they would become to known as canticles. You hear these songs sung in modern churches in various different forms and fashions. If you're familiar with Gregorian chant, several of these songs you can find in Gregorian chants, and some of the songs we sing even today. We just sung a song that comes right from the text that we will be looking at today. And so while it is the fourth Sunday where we focus on love, we also know that this is Christmas Eve, and moments from now we will be lighting the final candle of our Advent wreath, the Christ candle, for the month. Again, we've been exploring these texts that shed light on the coming of our Lord a second time by looking at what it looked like when he came the first time. We've looked at these characters in the Gospel of Luke and their lyrical responses to God's activity. The Songs of Advent are songs that celebrate God's ginormous and expected, even in unexpected ways, his activity. We took a look at the first song on the first week, the Magnificat. That's Mary's song, taken from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse number 46, where she starts off by saying, "My soul magnifies." Magnificat is the Latin for magnify. We were encouraged to give praise to God in response to his marvelous activity in the world. The second song was the song of Zechariah from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 and following. That song is called the Benedictus. That is the Latin for the first word of his song, which is blessed. Blessed in Latin is Benedictus. We were encouraged to open our mouths and tell all about the blessing that befalls the earth because of God's love, mercy, and compassion. And so this morning, we want to continue to walk through these songs as we consider the song of the angels, Gloria, more Gloria in Excelsis Deo. The Song of the Angels is recorded in the part of the birth narrative that we are probably most familiar with. It's a Bible passage that has been read in perpetuity for centuries, particularly during this season. And it was made really famous by its reciting in my favorite Christmas holiday program, Charlie Brown Christmas, right? This probably ranks one, but I also have a 1A. It's Emmett Otter Jug Band Christmas. If you've never seen Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, you're just missing out on life, but you need to get that in your life. But this is one, and Emmett Otter is 1A. And the reciting of Luke 2 was famously done by Linus in this scene where Charlie Brown is just screaming out, will somebody please help me to understand the real meaning of Christmas? And how fitting for his best friend to go center stage and to quote Luke 2. So we're going to have a reading of Luke 2, and I was going to read it for you, but I found an incredible video of some children reading Luke 2. And if this doesn't touch your heart, please go seek medical attention. Just watch. So I am now introducing a new tradition in my Christmas season. I will listen to that video every year on Christmas Eve. What we have taken note of in this series is that these songs we are considering are comprised of lyrics that are responses to the glorious and rich actions of God. No one can argue that the birth of Christ is one of the greatest movements of God this world has ever seen. When Christ came to earth, God's imagined kingdom was coming into fruition. It was a kingdom prophesied long ago by God's faithful community of prophets, speaking of a time in the future. Prophets of old like Isaiah, who also prophesied regarding God's impending judgment toward a rebellious people. He also prophesied about the future. Isaiah prophesied this from Isaiah 9, verse number 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be buried as fuel for fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, Everlasting Father, Prince, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. And from time on, from this time onward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The prophecy and countless others point to a future action made by God to make secure a plan for God's kingdom reign. And this reign will be marked by the God of heaven making provisions for the heavens and the earth to collide in majestic fashion. The collision will have overreaching implications for everyone who populates the earth. When Jesus was born, a new world order was at play. When Jesus was born, a new reign had commence. When Jesus was born, righteousness, justice, and peace would be the rule and not the exception. And for people who were beholden to unrighteous treatment, injustice, and chaos, they welcomed the entrance into the world of a Messiah who would oversee this new kingdom. In Luke 2, the prophetic words of Isaiah and others are coming into fruition. This is no small deal, church. This is the greatest of moments. This is God's chosen one born into the world. He is royal. He is anointed. He will lead God's movement. In America, we're not familiar with the birth of royals, but to get our fix, we live vicariously through the royal family of Great Britain. In 2013, Prince William and his wife, Kate, they were expecting their first child, the imminent birth of their child and successor to the throne was much watched TV and social media phenomena. Some of us remember the same deal when William was born to Princess Diana and Prince Charles. The residents of Great Britain, they camped out at the royal palace and the hospital waiting for the announcement, weighing in at a healthy 8 pounds and 6 ounces. The first child of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, that's Prince William and Kate, is born on July 22nd, 2013 at St. Mary's Hospital in London. The crowds went crazy. The news traveled all over the globe. News networks, even the ones outside of England, they broke news, breaking news. You know, Prince and Princess, the Princess of Wales, you know, they had their child. Everyone was made aware of the birth of this baby. Dignitaries, special people, the higher ups, they all were made known that this baby who was third in line for the throne in Great Britain was born. And here are people gathered around just taking a picture at the announcement. They say that during this period that residents in England spent over $300 million on photographs and art and all types of things to remember and to cement that day. All this for a baby that would serve as a king, a monarch, for a small country in Europe. Now, we're not talking about the king that will rule the entire heaven and earth. The promised Messiah was a much bigger deal. Prince George, cute. It was a nice moment. But we're talking about the Messiah. Like this wasn't the Messiah. This is just a king of a small country in Europe. I would expect, though, for the Messiah, that there would, if they spent $300 million for Prince George, man, they should spend $300 billion for the birth of the Messiah. He's that important. But as it happens, the audience wasn't a crowd of countrymen and countrywomen. It wasn't the residents of Great Britain. It wasn't eyes affixed to social media or TV screens. The first audience of the birth of our Messiah were shepherds. Yeah. People who take care of sheep. Yeah. Yeah. With the hooks. Now, shepherds might be a cute character in Christmas pageants, but in the first century culture, shepherds were not as cute. In one book, an author noted that shepherds were uneducated, uncultured, and uncouth. They were so much on the fringe that their testimony in court was unreliable. They were known as liars. They could not be trusted. So if you brought them to court to be a witness, they were immediately pushed aside. And we don't believe a word that comes out of their mouths. And it's also believed that shepherds were barred from participating in any temple activity. So barred from regular society and culture, and barred from the religious life of the Jews. They were rejects. They were castaways. They were outcasts. They were outsiders. Now, here I am scheduled to speak about the song of angels, and I've spent most of my time talking about sheep herders. Church, that's the point. The song that is our focus today is a song that was sung by angels, a heavenly host. The song we are considering today is a song of melodic importance. The song of the angels was a praise chorus with simple lyrics, Gloria in excelsis Deo, that's Latin for glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. That's the song. Heaven and earth have come together as if the worlds overlap. And in this overlap, God is active. The angels who see and experience God like none other are bringing a message and a praise to God for earthly onlookers. Now, they could express this praise and share this news and share this information with whomever they chose to. They could have shown it to kings. They could have shown and shown their praise to rulers, but no, they show up to shepherds, not the rich and powerful, not the ones who have a special invite to all the festivities. No, they show up in a field with sheep and their shepherds, and they announce the arrival of the long-awaited king. Here are the ones that are barred from hearing the words of the prophecies at the temple, receiving the news that the words of the prophecy are now at play. This new world order, the angels say, is not just for the insiders, is not just for the special guests, is not just for the dignitaries and the royals. This Messiah coming, this event is for everyone. Everyone. It's for the insiders and the outsiders, for the popular and the overlooked, for the rich and the poor, for the old and the young, for all people. the angels declare that the Messiah has come. That's why the angel, when appearing to the shepherds, the angel says in verse number 10 of chapter 2, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for, say this with me, church, all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. No more lines of demarcation. The Messiah has come for all people. So come you, come me, come all. No more lists of who can and who can't. The Messiah has come for all people. Now it's whosoever will. No more lists, no more lines, no more exclusive lists. The Messiah had come for all people. God made a list. He's checking it twice. And last I checked, everybody can be the beneficiaries of God's new reign led by the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And just so it was clear that God's effort on this earth could be enjoyed by all people, God sends his celestial host, that's the angels, to speak to the lowest of low to inform them first that a Savior, the Messiah, has been born. And then the angels burst out into a praise chorus. Gloria in excelsis Deo. The response to God's cosmic action was to give God praise. And this is what we have seen throughout the beginning passages of Luke. Those who were witnesses and participants in God's work of bringing the Messiah pointed to God and gave him praise. And so, as the story goes, the shepherds travel to see Mary and Joseph and this newborn king. Again, this group of outcasts were the first to see and experience the child, other than the parents. They were the first to report and testify regarding the message of the angels. Verse number 17 of chapter 2. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Remember, church, people didn't believe shepherds. They were not trusted. They were known as liars. When they spoke, people just immediately said, they're lying, don't believe them. You know any people like that? Like, as soon as they open their lips, you're like, it's just not true, my guy. That's shepherds. But here they are, testifying what they saw from the angels, and Mary, Joseph, those who were with them, they believed them, took it to heart. They were amazed by it. These were the ones that God entrusted with sending an angelic communication to the birth family of the Messiah. They believed, they were amazed. Now, I don't know about you, but it would seem that in 2023, the very least that we could do in response to this extraordinary action by God is to give God a shout of praise. We've ample evidence and encouragement from Scripture. The book of Psalms is full of praises that are uttered in response to God's activity. Psalm 97 and verse number 1, the Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. The many coastlands, that means everybody. Not just Jews, not just this nationality, not just this race, not just this. That's everybody. Psalm 97 and verse number 6, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. Psalm 98 and verse number 1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. Psalm 98, starting at verse number 7. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. whether it be by song or by prayer or by poem or by obedience or by faithful activity or by active service, the presence of the Messiah moves us to do something in response to God. It is not an event that renders us still, but it moves us. It is that which moves us into praise and moves us to preach and moves us to participate in the righteousness of God, the justice of God, the peace of God, and the love of God. So this Christmas Eve 2023, if I could get royal for a moment and offer you this proclamation about the Messiah. I hereby announce that Christ, the Lord, has been born. He was born a healthy baby boy. He was cared for and nurtured by Mary and Joseph, to whom God called to bring him into the world by way of the Holy Spirit. This baby king would grow in stature and in the power of the Spirit of the God Almighty. He would launch an earthly movement that would bar no man or woman from being a part of it. He would often call men and women to follow, leaving to them the choice to say yes or no. And many followed. His life on earth was not a long one as part of his mission, because part of his mission was to die. But his death was part of the plan, and it solidified this movement and his reign that is forevermore. As the Hebrew writer put it, we look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, by decree of the mighty God of heaven, and as first sung by the angelic host of heaven, we now and forevermore, as long as we shall live, we sing in harmony with the angelic choir. Church, if you would read this next scripture with me. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Merry Christmas, church. The invitation is yours to join in with the angel chorus, the Gloria in Excelsis Deo. We're going to sing a setting of that song right now, different than Angels We Have Heard on High, but a song that is familiar with us. As we're singing this song, I pray that that proclamation lives in your heart and that you will be faithful to respond to the faithful and the promised action of God to send his Messiah, to be Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I know we live in a world where we think hope is fainting, and we believe that peace is fainting, and we believe that joy is failing. We believe that love is diminishing. I know there's a lot of evidence that might be the case, but I'm here to tell you, as long as Jesus Christ is reigning at the right hand of God, there will be hope, there will be peace, there will be joy, and there will be love. And our response to God's marvelous, magnificent, big cosmic action is to sing praise to him and go tell somebody else about it. Time for us to forget about hope losing. What about hope being resurrected? It's not about, I know there are wars, but we can still preach peace. There's someone who's going to come up and talk about that in just a second. I know that there's a lot to mourn. There's still joy that comes in the morning. And I know that there's a lot of hate, but we can drive out hate with love. That's going to be our praise and response to God sending us a Messiah. As we sing this next song, if there's a way we can be helpful to you through prayer, through conversation, through company, you are welcome to come forward and share that with us here in this setting. You can wait till afterwards and share that with somebody, but we want to connect with you and we want to help you and walk with you during your struggle. If today is the day you want to declare Jesus as your Messiah, as Lord of your life, you want to confess faith in him, you want to say, I want to change my life, I want to repent and be a part of the kingdom of God, I want to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins so I can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we'll do that today. This would be a wonderful day to do that. But if today is just a day that you just sing in harmony with the angels, this Gloria, glory to God in the highest, then just stand and sing that song. Let's stand and let's sing together.